Luke chapter number 2. I'm excited about this. Thank you, Lord. Luke 2, 51. Then Jesus went down with his parents and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. That's an amazing statement in the culture that we're living in today. He was subject to them. This is God. All right? This is God in the flesh. And he's obedient and subject to his parents. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor. Say favor. With God and men. Father, thank you. You are going to unpack an amazing truth for us about your glorious grace. May we have the ears spiritually to hear and comprehend it so it begins the transformational work you intend. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Say, it's good for us to be here tonight. Amen. It is. It's good for us. Jesus has just been left behind by his parents. Pastor Michael preached a great message on that a few Sundays back. And I remember telling you on a Sunday night, they lost God. They did. How do you lose God? I mean, they did. And they're retracing their steps to find Jesus in the temple, and he's interacting with the religious leadership. And they're conversing, and they find him, and they get hold of him, and they finally take him back as they head back into Nazareth. And it talks about favor with God and men after that experience in the temple. Things now begin to really rapidly move in the direction God had planned for his son. Grace, the favor everybody needs. Amen? I believe in God's favor. Favor gets us into places money cannot. I will take God's favor over money. Because if I have God's favor, I'll have the supply I need. Amen. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. There has been, over the last few weeks, unusual favor on Calvary Christian Center. We have unmerited favor. And when God's favor manifests, it produces unusual blessing. And here's what happens when God's favor is upon us individually and then collectively. First, you will walk into rooms already prepared for you. God opens the doors. This is exactly what happens when you're walking in his favor. You walk into rooms already prepared for you. God opens the doors. Now watch this. Say, I will walk into rooms already prepared for me. In Mark 14, and Jesus sent out two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. That was for the Passover celebration prior to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, let's erase all doubt. I said, let's erase all doubt. There was no collusion between Jesus and the man with the pitcher of water. And there was... there was no collusion with the master of the house. The only conversation was what between Jesus and his disciples. They obeyed, and as they went, they followed the man with the pitcher of water. He led them to the master of the house, and they asked him, where is the large room prepared for our teacher? And when they arrived, the room was already prepared for them. Now, in your favorable season, be careful you're not working this too hard. Trying to figure out too many things in your favorable season. I don't care who put the furniture in the room. I don't know who did. It looked like maybe the master of the house must have put the furniture in the room. All they had to do, though, the disciples, was obey and walk it out because God's favor was on them. God goes ahead of you in a favorable season. The room was furnished, prepared. Everything was in place. All they had to do was assemble the elements for the Passover dinner. They had Jesus' instruction for the Passover that the owner of the house did not have. And when they reached the room, it was already prepared as if the text had already been sent ahead for the house owner. And of course, there were no texts. There was divine texting. There are some people in motion doing things, and they don't know why they're doing them until you show up. The master of the house had no clue what was about to happen under that roof that night. But here, God had prepared him, and when those disciples showed up, then everything fell in place. Things will come together when you obey the master and you show up. Doors will have been opened. Things will have been prepared ahead of time. That's called faith. Believing our God is able. He's gone ahead of you, preparing before you ever leave home. God's got it all covered. Second, people you've never met before will feel joined to you. People you've never met before will feel joined to you. It's a result of God's favor on your life. People you meet for the first time, and there's a connection. So many are stuck in past relationships. They can't move forward into new relationships. They're stuck. And you can't go to your destiny until you embrace some new relationships. Some are stuck in Facebook. You're stuck. You're addicted. You're caught. They're always trying to connect with old high school schoolmates. Really? Things weren't all that good back then. Your best relationships are now and ahead of you. People you will meet today, people you will meet tomorrow that are beneficial to where you're going. That's what God's interested in, where you're going. If all you do is key in on past relationships, some of them were so bad, you're still hurt because of them. And you meet someone and you feel like you've known them all your life. And all of a sudden, there's a divine connection. That is a relationship of favor. God orchestrated it, not you. God's ability. You would choose differently, but when God chooses for you, the relationship will not go as they did in the past. It will open doors this time. Now watch this. John the Baptist is speaking in John chapter 1. John the Baptist says, I did not know Jesus, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Now, what a passage that is. The cousin of Jesus said, I do not know him. They had not been acquainted, evidently, as children. They were cousins, but never intersected. They didn't graduate together. I did not know him. The way I knew him, the Spirit of the Lord descended on him. And when John saw what the Spirit of God had revealed to him, then John realized, this is the one. You will join with some people and ideas that will advance the kingdom of God. People you didn't know about in the past. John had not met Jesus. Jesus had been raised up in Nazareth. John in Jerusalem, and then out in the wilderness. But John recognized him as the Christ based on what the Holy Spirit had spoken to him. Then in John 1:33, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. This is the one. I baptize you with water. He baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. You need to know who you are to be linked to in this season of your life. Because God has divine intersection, people to partner with. In this season of favor, God will bring people into your life. You've never met them, but you are joined to them. And that's what God's doing in this season to advance his purpose for his kingdom and his church. He had favor on John the Baptist. God had favor on Jesus, sending him the Holy Spirit and blessing him with the knowledge, you are God's son, you have favor with me, I am well pleased. And just because you've never connected with those God has sent to Calvary Christian Center doesn't mean they are not orchestrated by God to be in your life. John and Jesus never played soccer together. And that's why we can't allow what we suppose in our minds to impose itself on Scripture. Because in our minds, we can make John and Jesus childhood friends. But you don't find that in the Scripture. God has better relationships for you than those you choose for yourself. God orchestrated connections, ones that excite God's purpose in your heart and ignite God's purpose in your spirit. People, not to waste your time, but to advance your time. We think one has had to have a childhood friend or have them all your life in order for it to be a divine connection. No. When God gets ready to bestow favor, he will connect all the dots. He crosses all the T's. He dots all the I's because it is his will. And like the maestro, he stands up and he begins to pull all the instruments in together to make a glorious sound. Does anyone at Calvary Christian Center want to be in the will of God? Rather than reason and rationalize everything until there is little of God in the whole deal because you've taken over where God said, let me have this. God's putting relationships together. He's joining people that will advance his kingdom. God will put a Saul, a Paul, and a Silas together. Say teamwork.
Teamwork.
See, where John left off, then Jesus began. God has a plan. He didn't leave you out. He didn't leave me out. His purpose is for all of us. And we need to figure out how all of this is to work together, or someone will not be born again. Someone will never be baptized. Someone will not be filled with the Holy Spirit, because we need to fulfill the purpose for which God created us. How much need is there in this culture around us today? How many people do you know who do not know the love of God in reality? They only know it as far as perhaps knowledge. He's looking for a few good men and a few good women who are willing to give up their small ambitions. And that's what they are compared to this ambition, to take on something of eternal significance. And that's to bring men and women to Jesus Christ. That is the greatest of all ambitions we could ever have. That's the purpose of the church. Someone without that will not find Jesus. We need to figure out why we are on this campus together. And it's pretty obvious why we're, but we need to get that on the forefront of our thinking. Why am I giving out? Why are you receiving from me? God has a plan for his kingdom. We are to love, live, and lead like Jesus in our community. And people you've never met before will be joined to you in a moment arranged by God himself. That's why we cannot dwell with tarnished relationships. Third, favor will bring you out of every low place. No matter where you are tonight, favor will bring you out of every low place. Have you ever been in low places? Huh? Did favor bring you out? Are you listening?
Yes.
Yes, it did. Favor delivers us out of low places. We are going to walk through some valleys. It's inevitable. Christianity isn't always lived out on the mountaintop. You will walk through valleys, but with every valley there is God's favor to bring you out. For every valley there is favor to deliver you. Every report that comes to you will not be good news. For every bad report, God will give you another good report to keep you encouraged. And for every low place, favor will bring you out. Look at Luke 24. He is not here, But he is risen, the angel said. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Jesus descended into the lowest hell on our behalf, but the favor of the Holy Spirit brought him out. It was the third day, and it was his third day. And Jesus said, I'm going down. 3 days later, I'm coming back. Jesus spoke confidently of his resurrection before he was crucified. I remember Donna speaking about her healing shortly after she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Believing God, trusting God, confidently speaking of God's favor, God will deliver me out of this. Jesus was telling his followers and accusers, in 3 days, I'll be back. I'm going as low as I can go, but in 3 days, I will return. You may have had a setback, a loss of job. In 3 days, you can start a new business. You'll be back. And when Jesus got up after 3 days, he was in his glorified body, no longer in his finite body any longer. When Jesus got up, he was showing us how to get up. Amen. There is grace on your life to take you out of any deep, dark place you find yourself in. And if you're struggling with depression, this is your get-up time. This is the day to say no to darkness, to say no to depression, to say no to the pit. Joseph was in a pit, but he came out. Get ready. You might think it's taking a long time, but in one day, you'll go from the pit to the palace. God has to show his church. He will take someone who was really low, and days and even years have gone by, and in one day, he takes us out of the pit and puts us right into the palace. There is an anointing of grace here on God's word. You might have walked in here tonight thinking, I'm going to be stuck long term. I guess this is just never going to change. But in one day, you're going to exit the pit. I said, in one day, you are going to exit the pit. I dare somebody to start celebrating right now. One day, I'm going to exit the pit. Amen. I dare you. No matter what it was like, God will make believers out of your family members because of what he does in your life, out of your friends, your co-workers, and even some church members who need Jesus because they witness God's gracing favor in your life. That's worth celebrating because I didn't do anything. He did it all. It wasn't my ability. It was his. You thought you'd never get up. You thought you'd never get off the mat. When favor hits your life, deliverance in one day. No matter the months or the years, one day on his timetable. How long did it take you to come out, Pastor? One day. Favor. When you're the center of God's attention, you become the apple of God's eye. When God gets ready to do something for you, there's nothing man can do to stop it. Favor's on you. There's nothing anyone, anything, or any devil, any entity can do to stop it. Jesus could have gotten up in one day. He chose 3 days because there's purpose and process in everything that he was doing. And so there is for each of us. There's purpose and process. He did not waste time over 3 days. He went into Sheol. He went to both sides. He shared, I'm the deliverer. I'm the one that was promised. He began to loose and open up the gates of all of the saints who had been deceased on the paradise side of Sheol and led them out of there. Now, he was working for 3 days. He was delivering those who had been waiting there for all these years for their moment of deliverance. He could have gotten up immediately, but he waited for 3 days. He had business to do, taking care of his people. Purpose and process is a part of the waiting experience for all of us. When doctors giving up on you, all of a sudden, you go from them saying, nothing we can do about this, to restoration in one day. from denials to approval in one day. I've lived that. Listen, for every no, all you need is one yes to turn everything totally around. One yes changes everything. You might have had 50 no's. I decree and declare over your life that now you are entering a place of favor, that one positive act is going to shift you completely out of all the environment you've been living in. And God's going to deliver his people. You're going to have his favor. It's called the favor of the Lord. It's not fair. It's favor. Amen. It's not a matter of being fair. We don't deserve this. It's favor. It's nothing we've earned. It's just God's favor. They didn't pick you. God picked you. And if God picks you, it doesn't matter what they think about you. You're God's choice. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you are God's choice. Amen. Wow. I'm getting warmed up. I hope you are, right? You're the one God anointed. You're the one God called. You're God's choice. You're about to get some amazing assistance, and it's called favor. It's the grace of the Lord. People think it's based on your work ethic. Yeah, and we should work hard. Or it's based on your career choice. We need to have one. Based on your intellect. It's good that you keep yourself sharp. All good. I believe there's a supernatural favor that comes on your life, and it gives you an assistance and a boost that no matter how well you've studied, how hard you've worked, how great your career, you'll never get there without his favor. Something you've never had beforehand in your life. And there's something about to happen for somebody in the room tonight. You're going to experience that turnaround you've been believing for, because God all of a sudden is sparking faith to grab hold of this and say, that's for me. And fourth, favor is God's force assisting you to get to your destiny. Favor is God's force assisting you to get to your destiny. Even the system that was preventing you. Listen to me. There are systems in place, governmental agencies, corporate agencies, all kinds of systems that seem to block and get in front of you. All of that circumvented by God's favor. That ought to make somebody run and dance. I mean, my wife, we were celebrating and thanking God and jumping around, run and dance over the favor of the Lord that comes in your direction. You're receiving assistance tonight, not just receiving his assistance. You're believing in his assistance. I'm trusting in what he does, believing favor is working for you no matter what's been working against you. Believing you're not in the back, you're not left out, you're included, you're being pushed to the front. Amen? Because the word says you're the head and not the tail. You're being relocated right now. Thank the Lord. God has turned his spotlight on your life, and the decision makers are being orchestrated to favor you. All of a sudden, God begins to move on people's hearts, and he orchestrates them to favor your life. He said, you'll be above only. Your underneath days are over. Hallelujah. Your underneath days are over. Now watch this. It says in Genesis 42, now Joseph was governor over the land. He's second in command to the Pharaoh of Egypt. And he literally, financially, leads the world's economy. And it was he who sold to all the people of the land. It was all his, under his purview. All the exchanges, all the purchases, all this, everything came through Joseph. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. That was Genesis 42. In Genesis 37, Joseph was given a dream, and his brothers, upon hearing it, said, No. This is never going to happen. But when God's time of favor came upon Joseph, what his brother said would not happen did happen. In chapter 37, they said, "We will not be bowing to you." They did not realize that in chapter 42, they in fact were bowing before Joseph. People who are unwilling to do what is needed will in fact do it, not realizing it's God's favor working on your behalf. Not even know it, not understanding it's God's assistance that has come in and boosted you to the place he's wanted you. What was thought to resist you now has come to you. And you might have thought, well, it's over. I'll never be used in that area. That'll never manifest for me. What God told you in the beginning will manifest tonight. God has blessing for you. The enemy should have never allowed you to have read that scripture if he thought he was going to be able to keep you down. Right. The enemy can't keep you down if you have God's dream for your future. Yes. Do we have any dreamers in the house? Yes. I said, do we have any dreamers in the house? Yes. Huh? Yeah? Do we have any dreamers in the house? If God gave you a dream, don't abort your dream. It shall come to pass. It took 13 years to bow, but they did. Joseph was 17 when he received his dream. Joseph was 30 when his brothers bowed. And no matter how long it takes, do not abort your dream. I'll say it again. No matter how long it takes, do not abort your dream. Favor assists your destiny. Even like Joseph, when he was taken on wilderness detours, we get taken on wilderness detours. You know, I'm sure most of you are grateful that you don't quit. Amen? Henry Ford was bankrupt twice in his first 3 years trying to get into the automobile business and build a car. Seuss's first children's book was rejected by 23 publishers. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. That wasn't too smart, was it? The high school coach was attempting to motivate his players to persevere during a very difficult season. So he pulls them all together into the locker room. And during the end of a practice, the coach stands before the team and he says, "Did Michael Jordan ever quit?" The team responded, "No!" He barked, "What about the Wright brothers? Did they give up?" The team responded, "No!" "Did Walter Payton ever quit?" And the team yelled back, "No!" And then he asked, "Did Sam Lowell ever quit?" There was long silence in the room. And finally, one player raised his hand and said, "Who's Sam Lowell?" "Never heard of him." The coach snapped back, "Of course you never heard of him. He quit." Yeah. That's what will happen to you when you quit. You go down into the dust bowls of history somewhere. Don't abort your dream. Don't quit now, no matter how long it takes. Don't abort your dream. Favor assists your destiny. And don't quit now. Step in. Step up. Don't run. Stay. Favor is on your life. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because one of the things we all tried or tempted to do when things get really tough is, well, I'll just pull up and run. And God says, don't ever do that. I can outweigh the devil. I can outweigh the enemy. Amen? And I can smile in their faces because I can say it is well. It doesn't have to look good because it's well with my soul. You stay in the process. Let God finish what he started. Whenever God promised will come to pass. It can take a month, it can take 9, 2 years, 13 years, no matter. There's enough grace allowed to wait to get us there. It will happen. And Joseph told them his dream. He told his brothers first, then his father and his mother. And he told them, one day you'll respond. And one day they did. See, it was not manipulation. It was not taking advantage of anybody. If Joseph's dream had not come to pass, his father, mother, brothers, and bloodline would have died in the famine. Favor is not just about us or just for personal gain. It involves family. It involves the body of Christ. It's for business purposes. Favor is to sustain. Favor comes on those who are called to sustain. That's why God favors you. Not just for you or me. He favors us because we're going to be able to bring blessing and sustain others. How many here can forgive those who wronged you and still feed them? Get ready. If you can do that, favor's on your life. To be qualified for favor, you choose not to retaliate on your enemies because they're going to need to eat the bread you supply. Man, what a powerful truth that is in that story. If Joseph was not going to retaliate. They needed to eat the bread that he could supply. Look at Job with his so-called friends who berated him and accused him and said, you have had to sin for God to allow this to happen to you. And he never once succeeded. What he does is he begins to work this out between him and God, and he begins to see the bigger picture. It says, then God turned that process of testing of Job when he prayed for his friends and doubled everything he had lost. You see, like Joseph, those that tried to harm you are going to one day need a biscuit from your table. They're going to need the resources you possess. And God can trust you with favor when he sees you won't retaliate when someone has targeted you. God favors you when he sees you know you're there to meet a need. When he sees you know I've left you standing because through you I want needs to be met. God favors you when he sees and he knows you're there to help other people. I thank my cardiologist a week ago Thursday for all he had done to do the things that got done, to play the role he played in the process that God was using to get that valve replaced. And he had been inquisitive in our first conference, and even more so in the second one, about some of the things that God was enabling us to do in the church, in the community, with military, with cadets. And he responded and he said this, when I thanked him for all the help. He said, I'm glad I could be of service to help you. So in turn, you can continue to help the people that God has brought in your direction. He got something that sometimes even Christians don't get. And I thought, wow, this guy pegged it perfectly, right? He knows you're ready to meet needs. He knows you're ready to be a supplier. I will make sure you survive. Because God has a plan for you and for them, for you to be a blessing for them. And if I don't do my job with this favor on my life, they may not survive and finish their course. So tell your neighbor, I have assistance. Amen. I have assistance. I'm never alone. I have assistance. Favor is with me. God's grace is with me. And when you realize you're never alone, you won't enter into wrong relationships. Anything that harms the assignment I have, I don't have room for it. I don't have time for it. I have very little to talk about. I'm on an assignment I will show up because favor is on me to do what I'm called to do, because that's what the grace of God does. I didn't show up here tonight wearing a parachute. I will not have to bail out. Thank the Lord. I'm not going to pull the ripcord. I'm going to stay on board. Amen. And fifth, favor says to my worst day, my best day is here. Thank the Lord. My best day is here. Favor speaks to my diagnosis. Favor speaks to the door that man has closed. Favor speaks to the entities and corporations that say, we don't do that except in this kind of a trial. Favor speaks to the door that someone has closed and says, my best day is here. Finish reading the text. Your best day is here. Amen. 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 You know what? I'm going to leave you a little bit hungry so you'll come back for more next time. Because I got another one in this series. But Genesis 50 and 20. Joseph is speaking to those whose faces are on the ground and says, for as for you, my brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Look at the picture. The favor of God on your life is not just so you can go grab it and run in a corner and eat it all by yourself. The favor of God is on your life so that you can become a conduit through which he blesses others who are also in need and also need help. Amen? Amen. We don't focus on what the devil's doing to us. We don't focus on what the evil was that was done. No. When you're only focusing on what the evil was that befell you, you will stay in that day. You will lock into that day and you'll remain there. When you realize God is in control of every detail, what was meant for evil, what you thought was the worst day of your life, God was working that thing for your good. Thank God. That was process. That God was working process in you. And he wanted you in place. God was using it to prepare you to get to the place he had for you. And it takes those circumstances and that process, the test, to get us to that place. If everything remained perfect and comfortable, we would never arrive at the destination. The reason God allowed the storm and the test, it pushes you into place. Many would have aborted their destiny by remaining comfortable, but a test blew in, and it pushed you into your destiny. Evil came in from the right flank. It served to push you to the left. Attack came in from the left flank. It pushed you slightly to the right to get you tracking the way God wanted. Alignment for completing our destiny. He brings us into alignment. And every evil report coming in your direction isn't all for bad. It will be used by God to push us into a place that God has foreordained. And he will work his blessing through you for other people. Joseph realized God had prearranged all of those detours to get him where he would have resources to help many people and save the then known world from starvation. You talk about God, the orchestrator, the maestro who pulls it all together. We only see this, and he's got the entire symphony going at the same time. There are things happening in lives here at Calvary Christian Center that are destined to bless the entire body of Christ. For all of us, our community, and the destiny. God isn't downloading favor to you in order that we can just sit here in church and bask and smile contentedly. That's not what God's doing this for. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. Be light. Be light in our world. And there's a culture awaiting for Calvary Christian Center to rise up and declare that victory is here, that we are light and step into our destinies, God knew he could trust us with trouble. So he allows the tests because God has declared over us, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You are the called. I said you are the called according to his purpose. So stuff will happen to you mixed in for the good purposes that God has for your life. The good stuff is not back there somewhere. The good stuff is right now, and it's ahead of you. The best is before you and yet to come. And listen to me. You are in the best moment of your life. You still may hear some bad stuff, and you still may feel some negatives, but you're not living in it any longer. You've started to walk into the purposes that God has planned for you. Just because they've turned on the blue lights doesn't mean they're after me. Might be after her, but they're not after me. I said, just because they turned on the blue lights doesn't mean they're after me. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Have you ever pulled over when they turned on the blue lights and you pulled over and they went right on by you? Ever happened to you? I know it happened to you. Calvary, this time the blue lights are not for you. So don't react with your post-traumatic stress because of the experience you've had when he came up to the window and asked for your license and your insurance. All right? So just because the blue lights come on, you go, and they're coming up. Keep smiling. Keep smiling. Keep looking forward, amen. Keep rolling down the highway. Don't look back. Look forward to what's ahead. There might be blue lights behind you, but there's a green light ahead of you. God's got green lights for you to go through. So Calvary Christian Center, go for it. That's where we need to be, forward looking. Favor is not on something dead. Favor comes to something coming alive. Amen? Can God trust you to take care of others? Can he trust you? You know, you keep asking God, let me win the big lotto. If God can't trust you, you ain't going to win it. No way, okay? Can God trust you to take care of others? God wants to trust you to not be offended, to not retaliate, to be of the character to feed those who attempted to destroy you. And you do it with joy because you realize God has blessed you with favor and your heart is right. The posture of your heart is to honor the Lord and to serve him no matter what's befallen you in your trial. My God, listen to me, my God is bigger than this. Amen? I said, no matter what trial has befallen you, no matter what test you find yourself in, my God is bigger than this. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord.